Dub CNN hooked back up with Devin the Dude, you know, to get the lowdown on the new record, Waiting to Inhale, and to chop it up about the latest happenings. How you doing, Devin?
Oh, yeah. Cooling, man. Feeling good.
Everything good with you?
Man. Oh, yeah, man. It's cool, man. Everything's cool.
Okay, you know, you're one of the few artists in hip-hop who never seems mad. You're just a laid-back kind of dude. What's your formula?
No particular formula, man. Just waking up every day, man. It's cool, man, and... it takes a little less muscles to smile than it does to frown, man. So I just try to take all that in perspective.
Okay. People love you for your laid back style. Have you ever recorded with a different kind of style out of fun?
Actually, yeah, man. Yeah, man. Just to be tripping, you know. We had like a pretty rough, raw kind of, you know, thug type rap, you know, up in the. Up in a rhyme just to be tripping, just all in fun.
I want to go back in time with you for a minute, you know. Tell us about your youth and how you came up.
Oh, man, I was raised out in St. Petersburg, Florida, man. And I moved to Texas, man, well, when I was like in the fourth grade, a little small place called Douglasville. And then moved back to Houston. I always listened to music, man, enjoyed playing records and just... You know, I was amazed with the EQ when the EQ first came in, you know.
Right.
So it was just like, you know, treble bass and mid-range and all, but when the EQ came in, it just really, man, I always, every song I had the EQ in, every song, you know, I had to make it sound, you know, tight as possible. And yeah, I used to listen to, like, Bootsy and, OJ, Shalimar, oh, man, Bill Withers, and started breakdancing, you know. Like in the early 80s and stuff, man, and, you know, had kind of, you know, two or three crews, different crews until, like, 87. I started getting serious in the rap part of it, man, and started going to talent shows and, not really talent shows at that time instead of high school, but we go to parks and everything. We set up the music at the park and we'll freestyle and we'll, like, battle other crews. It was all in fun, though, you know, we were just tripping and, you know, got serious with it. Really serious in like 90, 91, moved back to Houston, man, and I befriended Rob from the Odd Squad and Jug, man. We got together and started just banging out music as a hobby.
Okay. You know, on your first album, The Dude, you had features from Spice One and Scarface, to name a few. Can you tell us about the recording process on your first record?
Yeah, man, it was wonderful, man. I was kind of carefree with it, man. I had a lot of help as far as production-wise, and the bass was helping me out a lot, man. KD was on the record, too, man.
Yeah.
I used to be listening to him a lot, man. And, man, Scarface, he was really influential as far as getting the production together and the work ethics of the studio and all. Spice One was down. He just happened to be in town, you know. He had family out here in Houston, so he happened to be in town, and he came by the studio. And I was like, what's up on this song? You know, he was like, man, what's happening with it? He got on it, he wrote his verse in like 20 minutes, and went in there and laid it. So it was real cool, man. It was real carefree. You know, we sipped a lot of coffee in there and everything. Everything was cool.
Okay, you work with Adomo on a lot of tracks on that record, right?
Mm-hmm.
How was the production on the record? Like, you know, it was your first record, so what kind of approach were you taking on the album? Did you have a idea of how you wanted to sound, or did you just let it all come together?
Actually, just come together, actually, man. When they asked me to perform solo, you know, Scarface and Lil J, they asked me, you know, how do I feel about doing a solo record, you know, and I was always about the group at the time. And when I finally agreed to do it, you know, I had the support from the R Squad members, man, so they was like a... You know, it was helping me out a lot in there, and I was just, you know, I really just didn't have a set, you know, set path to go through with the album, but I just figured, hey, you know, they asked me to do this for something, and people out there listened to me for something, and I kind of had to find out what that reason was, and I guess it was because, like, the weed, wine, and women approach, and the humor, and a lot of serious situations, and so I just kept on going, you know, just had the most fun as possible with it, you know, I didn't really stress myself on that one.
Okay, and you know, like a year or two later, you were featured on Dr. Dre's 2001 record. You know, I know you probably told the story a thousand times before, but you know, how did that song come together?
Well, I was chilling at the crib, man. I got a phone call from for my road manager, man, who was working at he was at the office, and he called me and he said, "Well, Dre, man, working on this Chronic, you know, the second Chronic album, he wants you to be a part of." I'm like, "Man, get out of here, man, you just tripping." Like, "Oh, no shit, man, just, you know, be at the crib, you're gonna call like another hour." And I wait around an hour and then just get a call. 2 hours, wasn't a call, and I was like, "Man, I know he was just tripping." I forgot all about it, man. Next thing you know, the phone rang, and I just, you know, unexpectedly answered it. And like, "Hello?" He's like, "Yo, my sister Devin?" I said, "Yeah, what's happening?" He's like, "Do what the fuck you wanna do." I was like, "Yo, Trey, get in the bag." You know, I was just surprised to hear from him, man, and he was telling me about the project, man. And, you know, a couple of weeks after that, I went out there, man, and it was, man, it made me feel at home, man. It was real cool, man. You know, Warren G, Snoop, Nate, man, everybody was just, you know, it felt real cool, man. And we went in the booth. He had like 100 and something numbers on a sheet of paper and put in the DAT player. I was like, "Man, if you can find any one of these tracks, you know, you like us, man, you can, you know, see what's happening with them." I was like, "No shit, 100 and something tracks." So we got like the number 12 or something like that, and Mailman, who was in there at the time helping produce him, he would notice me like jamming to number 12, and we kept on going 13, 14, 15, 16, whatever, you know. He was like, "Man, go back to number 12, you know, I think he's feeling that." We went back to number 12, and that was it, you know. You know, so I was like, "Oh, man, that's cool." So I had to think about, I was trying to come up with something new, something fresh and new for it, man, but the only thing I could think of was this old hook I had that was much slower, you know. It was like a sad song, sad hip hop love song almost, you know, kind of raw though, and it was kind of real slow. "I just wanna fuck you, no touching and rubbing, girl. You got a husband who loves you." So it was real slow, but I just kind of fit it in my mind and try to match it up with it, and he came back and asked me, "You got something for it?" I was like, "Oh yeah." So I just went there to try that one, and it came out pretty cool. I had to kind of speed it up a little bit and slightly pitch the tone of it and stuff, but it came out real cool. And he was like, "Yeah, that's it. So we just stacked that, you know, with a few octaves and everything, and then, you know, that was pretty much it. I thought, you know, because, you know, I was just there to do the hook. I believe. So I was like, I chilled, and they kept playing the music so they could get the words together for, you know, the lyrics and stuff. And I had nothing else to do at the time, so I just started writing, you know, writing a verse to it or something. And he noticed me writing. He said, "You got something? You got a verse for it?" I'm like, "Yeah, you know, I mean, I can try one." I went there, tried it, man, and it just worked out, man. It was a blessing that it worked out. And he said, when I finished, he's like, "Man, Snoop will be here in a minute, man. You know, he's gonna knock his right out, and we're gonna, you know, this is gonna be a nice song." I said, "Man, I appreciate it."
That's crazy. How much of a push did that one appearance give your career?
Oh man, it gave me a whiplash push. Whiplash from that, man. You know, it was, a lot of people heard of some of my music, man, and to be able to match a face with it too, man, especially after the tour, you know, it meant a lot, man. It helped me out a whole bunch.
Have you spoken to Dre at all lately? Like, any chance to see you on Detox?
Oh, actually, man, I talked to one of the guys that was with him and helping him out with the next Detox album, and he asked me that he wanted me to be a part of it, man, and he'll just get back with me with the details. And oh man, I was like, yeah.
Hopefully that works out.
Yeah.
And you know, you also been producing on your album. Tell us about that.
Oh man, I try to do like a song or two on each one, man, on each album. You know, I did like a See What I Can Pull and Like a Sweet on the first album, and, you know, a couple here on a couple there on the Just Trying to Live, and a couple on the To the Extreme. And I did two actually for the new album, Just Waiting to Inhale, but one of them didn't really make it through the sample clearance, so the radio single out right now called Little Girl Gone, I produced that one, and Lil Wayne is on it, Bun B, and
yeah, we're about to get to that.
Yeah, my homeboy Tony Mac and my homeboy Max. You know, it kind of came together like that. You know, it was real cool.
Okay. Tell us about working with Mike Dean. You know, I heard he's had a hand in the new album, too.
Oh, for sure, man. You know, we had to get a few music instrumentations kind of rearranged and everything. But Mike Dean's been around, man, since, like, early 90s, since we first came to wrestling.
Yeah, Houston legend.
Yeah, man, and he's been working out tracks, and he pretty much knows the studios from top to bottom. You know, a lot of different instruments, all the modules and the Pro Tools and the speakers, and he actually builds them. He builds studios, so you know, he helped me out a lot, man, which he always do when it comes down to it, as far as mixing the albums at the end and getting that good ear in and getting the good EQs and the all the plugins correct and everything. So yeah, he helped out a lot.
I heard he got his hair cut off.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he did. I think he's letting it grow back, but I'm not for sure, man. Everybody has to take a double take when they look at Dean. They're like, Dean?
Yeah, man. How do you feel about your third album, To the Extreme, looking back at it?
Well, man, I was pretty satisfied with it, man, because I was, like, mostly hands-on with it. I was getting everything together. I was getting the production together, getting my production team, going to different studios, just dragging my hard drive around, you know, getting good favors, man, from my fellow co-workers, as far as just coming in and banging out beats for me and people sending me beats and everything. And it was kind of cool because I was kind of, you know, I was real free with it. It was, you know, it was, but it was kind of stressful too at the same time. And you know, but it all worked out. It all worked out. But yeah, it was cool.
I thought it was a shame that it was so slept on, because, you know, the title track to me is still one of the greatest tracks to chill to.
Okay.
That shit is crazy. Like, I don't know a better song to blaze to than To the Extreme, the title track.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. That's my homeboy Uno Blast, too.
Yeah, you got a crazy bass to it.
Yeah.
That should blow out your speakers. You know?
Yeah, man, I sure appreciate it, man. That was a good look on our Uno Blast part, too, man. But he came in with the track, he put the talk box over it. Oh, man, he built the talk box, man. It takes like two or three people just to carry it, man. You know, one of those Roger type.
Yeah, vocoders.
Yeah, well, he'll get offended if you call it a vocoder.
Yeah, I know. I've had that conversation before. Yeah, I know. You know, one thing I always notice about Devin the Dude albums is that, you know, they have a distinct sound throughout the whole record. You don't have 100 different styles and sounds on the album. You know, you can just relax for an hour nonstop.
Yeah.
What makes you do that?
Well, I try to keep it in the same realm. I don't mind going out of the box a little bit as far as the concepts of certain songs, but the groove and the beat and the bass and everything is going to have to pretty much be there. And then after I get the songs together, you know, I may have to do like 30 songs, 35 songs, and then pick out of those, and then pick the best ones out of those that I feel might be, you know, have a good chance. And then I kind of get those songs and kind of put them in certain orders, put them in an order that will kind of like make sense, like a book or something. And, you know, tempo-wise, it depends on the tempo and the concept of the song and what the song is about. You know, I kind of place them like that. And I think that may have a little something to do with the way it just rides throughout the album.
Yeah. But let's get to the new album, man. You know, let's start with the title, Wedding to Inhale. Why did you choose to go with that?
Well, actually, I was trying to come up with so many different names for it. I didn't have a name. The album was about finished already. And we were just kicking around the studio. I was actually, you know, all my Coffee Brothers and everybody, you know, I'm trying to work on this album title, you know, what y'all think? So a lot of people start coming with different titles, and DJ Damo, he happened to say, man, what about Waiting to Inhale, you know? I was like, well, that's kind of cool. It sounds like exhale, yeah, but it's like your verse, man. It's like, you know, the inhale smoke. I'm like, well, damn, you can inhale a whole bunch of stuff, you know? I don't want to be intelligent.
Right.
You think they're like, well, you know, the people who know your music, they'll know what you're talking about off the rip, so, you know, it shouldn't be too much of a problem. Gave it some thought, and then some of the songs on there, you know, are dealing with, like, relationships and stuff, too, so it kind of worked out.
Yeah, and how long did it take you to record the whole record?
Well, actually, I've been recording, man, here and there since the last album, you know, and a lot of the songs, they didn't quite make it, you know what I'm saying, but all in all, I guess about a couple of years, a year and a half, maybe, you know, something like that.
How would you say that? Go ahead.
About a year and a half that I've been, you know, silently trying to get the album together. At the same time, I was working on Coffee Brothers projects and stuff, too, so, you know, we had our hands pretty much full.
Okay. You know, how is the album, you know, different or similar to your past records?
Similar, I guess. You know, there's still some humor in it, man. The seriousness is not quite there like is some of the songs on my previous album. You know, I'm trying to take it back to the fun part and just chilling and, you know, just having fun, actually, you know, while we're doing the music and trying to let that show throughout the song. But pretty much, man, it's, you know, I've been being told that it sounds pretty much like the other ones, man. It's, you know, they say that I didn't really venture off too much or, you know, everything was kind of coincide with the last three albums.
Okay, I heard the song Little Girl Gone, you know, on your MySpace page will feature Lil Wayne and Bun B. Tell us how that song came together.
Well, I had that song, man, for about a year now almost. and I just sampled this old Eugene Wild record, man, that I used to dig back in the day. And it came to be, man, and I put the hook down on it. And I just had it open. For some reason, the verses wasn't really quite finished, and I really didn't want to just do too much on it since I produced it and add the hook too. And I was kind of waiting on features for that song. I thought that would be real cool, you know. And by the time we was finishing up the album, and this is like a couple of months ago, you know, Lil Wayne was presented with the song. You know, somebody from Rap A Lot gave it, Jazz from Rap A Lot gave him a copy of it and asked him. He wouldn't mind checking it out, and he got back with us, you know, with the verse and everything on it. And I was like, whoa, that was real cool. And Bun B, while we was in the studio doing my mixing for the album, he was in another other room in the same studio. He heard the song too, and he was like, man, he was excited about it, man. He heard it and threw the verse on that, man. It sounded wonderful, man. I was like, whoa, it's finally coming together, you know.
Yeah, that's tight. Is that the official single?
Well, it's a, I guess, official radio radio single, I guess. We haven't came out really with nothing for the club just yet, or no. We got thoughts of videos right now, but I wouldn't mind getting some ears on it to let me know where to go with it, which song is kind of stands out, and you can use it for video purposes also.
Okay, you know, how's the response been so far, you know, based on the early reviews? Because I think the label has sent out the album for listening purpose for a few hours or something like that. Have you received any feedback off that?
Actually, yeah, man, I've been getting pretty good reviews on it, man. Pretty good reviews, man. I didn't know if that the radio single would be real, real cool because it's like a message song, and the people who usually listen to me probably was like, hey, he's kind of going a little different way this riff with it, but they kind of all together kind of made sense at the end. And you know, I've been getting good reviews on it, man. You know, the people that's been hearing it, the people come out of the studio and people at the office, you know, a couple of DJs, man, have been telling me that it sounds pretty nice.
Okay, and you know, so when can fans pick up the album in stores?
March 13th, Waiting to Inhale will be at your nearest record store.
Are you planning a tour after the album drops?
Well, actually, we're doing like a promotional tour before it drops, and it's pretty much radio and retail, you know. And then after the, we're gonna have maybe an album release party in a couple of cities, and then from there on, we'll go like a start traveling with it, man. Trying to do a few shows with it.
Okay. Is there anything, anybody else that you know you've been collaborating with lately?
Oh, actually, man, I got a guy named Sindar, man, from Amsterdam, man. He put down a couple of nice tracks for me, man. That was real cool. A guy named Rich, Picnic Time Productions from Dallas. A guy named David Kahn, Cohn. He's from Pacifica, California. He helped me out a lot. Rob Quest on production on this one right here. DJ Domination on some production. And yeah, we've just been kind of banging them up.
Okay, is there any chance that you might see working with DJ Premier again?
Actually, I talked to him a couple of days ago, man. Premier called, man. It was nice call too, man. He's working on some projects out there. He's gonna he would like to slide me a CD of beats, but you know he would prefer to, you know, just have it done in the studio and try to special make one and us to get together and do it. But however, you know, it'll be a blessing to get another track from him.
Okay, you also had a dope ass song with Chamillionaire called "The Backup Plan." Tell us about that.
Oh yeah, man, we did that about a year ago, man. It was real cool. Chamillionaire was a cool cat, man. He, you know, every time we run into each other, man, it's always, you know, real cool. And he asked me to be a part of his project, and I went over there, and it was DJ Mad Hatter who was helping him out with it at the time. And we went to the studio, man, and drunk a couple of beers, man, and had a sip of coffee, and you know, tried to knock it out in a couple of hours, man. It was pretty much done. It was real cool.
Who have you been listening to personally as of late?
Who I've been listening to?
Yeah.
Actually, man, I didn't really have that much time. I get in my car, man, I'll go straight to the studio, man, and whatever on, I used to jam some old school music and stuff, man. Then I'll go to the studio and try to concentrate on the album and certain projects, and I try to save my listening to when I finish the project, because sometimes it gets kind of intertwined and stuff, you know.
Yeah, I feel you. What do you think of the recent dominance of the South in hip hop?
Oh man, it's all gravy, man. Just to have hip hop alive anywhere, man, it's all gravy. But especially to have it out here in the South, where, you know, we're finally getting a signature sound, and people know about H-Town, and you know, they're curious, and they come down and find out, hey, these guys are really into hip hop out here, you know, different genres of hip hop and stuff, and it's kind of worked out for everybody out here in the South anyway, you know, to open a lot of doors for them.
Definitely. You know, is there any chance of seeing another Odd Squad album?
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, actually, man, we had like 4 or 5 songs in the bag, you know, going towards another album, and actually used one of them for my solo album, for the Waiting in Hell album. It's called She Wants That Money, and we was gonna hold that for the Odd Squad album, but it was kind of hot right now, so we was just like, hey, let's put it out now. But you will definitely hear something else.
What's up with the Coffee Brothers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, we got an album coming out, too. It's called Waiting Our Turn. And we had that album titled way before the Waiting in Hell, but we was wondering about that, too. It's like, man.
I was about to say.
Everybody's going to say, man, what y'all waiting for, man?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's pretty cool, man. The concept is cool. And, yeah, we got a 14K. It's the group from Hobbs, New Mexico. The Coffee Brothers. We got a guy named Preach at 1-3. We got Tony Mack, who appeared a lot on my album that's coming out. We got a guy named Case, Daraja, the Odd Squad. So it's just like a big promotional album for the most part. You know, everybody that's in the Coffee Brothers who's on the songs, they really have their own entity and still have the doors open for them if they they want to sign with a bigger label, or they get new things coming their way. You know, it's not that locked down.
Okay, and you know, you and Scarface always used to, you know, be a tight combination. What's the current status on your relationship?
Oh, it's cool. Every time we see each other, it's real cool, man. But I guess, you know, we've both been pretty much busy. I haven't seen him in a minute. I'm pretty sure he's working on something. But yeah, if we ever get a chance to hook up and link up on another song or two, that'd be real cool. And he's actually on the Coffee Brothers album. He's on that album too. You know, he come around the studio, he heard one of the beats that we was doing in that. He was like, man, he used to grab the pen and start writing.
Okay, that's good to hear. You know, smoking has always been a big part of your music. You know, when did you hit the blunt for the first time?
Well, back in my day, it was nothing but joints, man. The first time I smoked a joint was maybe like in the sixth, seventh grade. Going to the skating rink and everything and just chilling. And shit, my mom caught me with a joint on top of my head one time. I had a hat on with a joint on my head. And I tried to play it off and comb my hair in front of it, and the joint was right there. And she snatched it off and threw it away and everything. But it started like in the 7th, 8th grade, man. But, you know, I wasn't really incorporating it to any music or nothing until we got, like, high school.
So how is weed, you know, getting high, influence you as a person, or influence your music?
Well, it kind of opens your mind, man. Sometimes you think a little bit too hard, man, about certain subjects and stuff, man. But it, you know, a couple of sips of coffee sometimes kind of open your thought process up, and you know. know, you're a little bit more carefree about what you're trying to say. You don't work yourself that hard, you know.
Okay. What does the average day, you know, for Devin look like?
Oh, my average day, man, whew, man, it's been pretty much getting up in the morning, me and my wife eating breakfast, man, kids going to school, I'm off to the studio, and I'm in the studio, and then I'll come back home, man, hopefully enough time to eat dinner and see the kids and get ready for the next day. You know, hopefully I'll get a chance to start moving around and everything and doing a lot of family stuff, too, in a minute.
Okay. And after all these years in the game, do you have any special memories in the studio or, you know, special, you know, moments that you'd like to tell our viewers?
Well, man, it's a lot of special moments, man, over a period of about 13 years, man. Yeah, man, we got a lot of memories, but I guess the way I got the name Devin the Dude from, I guess, was a cool memory when I was in the studio with Scarface, you know, working on the album. My first album, we had yet to have a title for it or anything, and he was like, man, come on, man, just what you used to listen to when you was small, man, you know, dig deep back in your past on the music. I was like, well, I used to love listening to Quincy Jones, man. It's like, well, I ran to the back of another room in the studio, and we had albums back there, and Quincy Jones' albums were back there, you know, so I brought one back, and I turned on the dude. I was like, man, it was my favorite song, you know. And so he's like, whoa, that is jamming. So we hooked it up and kind of revised it, and man, it kind of worked out and wrote a rap to it. And it was, you know, he was helping me out with the flow pattern. Like, oh yeah, that's cool. You know, to let me know how I was going with it. And when the song was finished, he was like, man, that should be the name of your album, man. That song is jamming, man. You the dude, man. That ought to be the name of your album. I don't know, man. Come on, man. That's it, man. Come on, Dan. That's you the dude, man. I'm like, okay, well, let's do it. So ever since then, you know, before then I just wanted to be considered like, you know, just Devin, you know. But when the album came out, Devin, you know, the dude, you know, I would go places and they would say, you're Devin? I was like, yeah. Devin the dude? I was like, yeah. Kind of stuck, you know. And, you know, that was a pretty cool memory right there, man.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Now, how do you view the internet and platforms such as MySpace, you know, for artists such as yourself?
Man, a miracle. It's one of the best promotional tools up to date with hip hop or whatever. You know, it's a way for the independent company or the person or artist to get their, you know, foot in the door, to get people to see and hear, you know, their music and their faces and stuff. And it's a cool outlet, especially for, you know, for hip hop.
Definitely. So what do you have planned for the future after this album?
Well, that's a good question, man. I wouldn't mind venturing off, man, and doing a little producing, man, and you know, independent record label, man. I got my Coffee Brother label, man, about to jump off with the Coffee Brothers coming and then the Odd Squad, and we're just getting it together like that, man. If there's any other doors that would open for me as far as, you know, acting or whatever, man, I would love to do that too, man. So I'm just kind of concentrating on the music right now until something else, you know, jump off, you know.
Okay, man. You know, I think we've covered pretty much everything, you know. Or do you have any last words for the fans?
Man, I appreciate each and every one of them, man. And I'll keep going on. As long as they, you know, let me know that it's cool, you know. That's the appreciation of the fans, man, is really what I strive for, man. And that's what keeps me going in the hip-hop. So, man, much love to all the people who ever listened to one of my records and enjoyed it and want me to do something else, man. I sure appreciate it.